Once again, a very good morning to each and every one of you. You know, one on that side, far end. So I'll be looking left and right and center so that you will not be missed out. But this morning, as I have promised you from the last two times, I'm going to preach something that's a little bit brighter, perhaps still very serious, but not so gloomy like the weather during the time where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was born. But it's very needful for us to understand and to know history, because history will teach us many, many things that we have not learn, and our greatest mistake in studying history is we repeat the mistakes of history. The purpose was not to. But this morning, as we look into history and also what lies in the future, we bring to mind the Lord Jesus Christ and His birth. So I'll be reading from still in the chapter, second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Okay, Luke chapter 2 verses 8 onwards until the 20th verse. And I'll also be reading from Matthew chapter 1 verse 23. Okay, so I'll start with the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 2 and verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angel were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see these things which is come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. And they came in haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they have seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the final verse reads, And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, may you open our hearts, our minds, our very soul to the truth of your precious word. Tell us more even of this prophecy, this fulfillment, and the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ again. Lord, thank you for your precious word. And as we not only ponder, but we also search thy precious word, may we be able to open our hearts and our minds that your spirit may speak unto us, that like the shepherd, we hear, we digest it, and we do what we have heard and told of. Let this mandate from on high be seared upon our hearts, that we will remember until his precious coming as we live each day to the praise and the glory of Jesus Christ. For we ask and pray in your precious name. Amen. So today we look at the birthday here in particular, the birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's very important. Birthdays are very, very important. Perhaps nowadays it might not be that important to some of us, but as I recall when I first went into the Irian Jaya, the field, and over there they don't have hospitals, you know, don't have expertise that much except from missionaries. But there was a man, he was one of my students, and I was teaching. His name was Masmur, or Psalms. That's a name, a nice name. And he was of age, and he had a big family, kind of. And I taught him, and after he had, in fact, he was in the service of the Lord long before he graduated. And he finally graduated, you know, and he became the pastor. The pastor of a local Baptist church there. It's very close to where we live. And Masmur, he's from the tribe, the Dani, or the largest Lani tribe. And he delivered all his children. You know, I was kind of shocked, because usually, you know, people who delivers are like the nurses or the midwives, you know. In Indonesia, I know of a family also, and the wife is in Jakarta, she's a bidan. It's midwife. But this fellow, Masmur, he delivered all his children. You know, one day I asked him, what are you going to do? And he said, you know, my wife is going to deliver. So I need to go and help her. And later I found out that every one of his kids, he delivered. You know, he's the bidan. And I said, you know, you can do all these things like this? He says, yeah. It's like a piece of cake, you know. To him, it's like a piece of cake. Every day, or not every day, but, you know, each time it's required, he's there. He gets the hot water, he gets some cloth, and then he goes in and he does his thing. And lo and behold, every kid came out, you know, just crying, screaming, and all that. No complications. Even the what do you call? The umbilical cord is taken off, you know, everything. And that guy is expert, you know. And I was so amazed. But to him, it's an everyday thing. For our Lord Jesus Christ, it may be an everyday thing, but it's very special. It's very special because of the day and the manner and the place, and so forth, the purpose of it. As we read here in the account of Luke, it tells us the birth of Christ in the first 7 verses. And then I'd like to read here from Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they called his name Immanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Okay, God with us. So, wonderful name. And not only is it a beautiful name, but it's prophetical. It tells the whole story of the Lord Jesus Christ. His time of birth, his place of birth, and the importance of his birthday. This is the birth of Christ, which is depicted here in these dark and gloomy days of the of Israel. It's a joy. It's the bright and wonderful light that shines for mankind. This is where God becomes man. We call it the incarnation. God become flesh. Because here we find that in the Gospel of Matthew, it tells us that God, the Son of God, become the Son of Man, the Savior. The Son of God became the Savior of this world by means of birth. But not just any birth, but a virgin birth. He says here, a virgin shall be with child. It's not just somebody who is a virgin. But this word here tells us that this lady has not known any man. And it is not by the seed of man that a child was born. It's the seed from God. It's the seed of the Holy Spirit. You see? There's nothing to do with the sins of men. But it is for the sins of men. So over here, the idea when you learn of the language, you can tell the difference. Because this is the same word that was used there in Genesis 24:43. It's Alma. You see? Whereas in Genesis 24:16 and others, there is a different word used for ladies that are of marriageable age, but not necessarily a virgin. And that's Betula. So, you know, the Lord has purposed us to know that this is not a Betula, that this is an Alma. You see, this is a miracle. And because of that virgin birth, God is incarnate as man. And that's the reason why we have eternal security. That's the reason why when you are saved forever. And you'll never be lost. You see? Because it hangs upon the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. You see? If it was polluted by man, then it will not be eternal anymore. But you thank God that it is truly a miraculous birth. And we have that privilege. We have that blessings. And we ought to rejoice, you know, just like the shepherd was told how it happened, and they were so amazed, and they were so happy, and they were praising God, just like the song, Gloria in Excelsis Deo, you know, glory to God in the highest, but the God is in. You see, it's Latin, so they put Deo, which is Deus, is God, right at the end. But the other two words are in front. So it tells us how glorious it is for us. You know, I am sure that it'll be very glorious for us that we can sing without the restraint of this mask. the day will come. I pray the day will come soon so that we can really sing with all our hearts, with all our mights, with all our strength. But in the meantime, let us be reminded of the wonderfulness of the birth of Christ. It is a supreme subject of joy. Although many of you may not look so joyful, I do not know what's going on in your heart, in your mind, but I can tell you one thing. We have, if you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have repented of your sin and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no reason why you should not be joyful. Difficult times, but that doesn't kill our joy. It should continue to strengthen us. One day we shall have this joy and non-stop, ever with the Lord. God is made flesh. The Word is made flesh. The Son of God is made to become the Son of Man for the sake of man, because man cannot save himself, because man's a sinner. And so needs the Son of God to become man so that he can shed his blood on the cross, whether it comes from his rib side or whether it comes from the brow of his head. The crimson flow is the one that will wash away all sins. And we are so wonderfully blessed, because if it has not been for that, we would be heading straight for hell. That's what we are entitled. So if some of you say, I am entitled to this, that, no, no, no. Let me tell you, there's only one entitlement that we deserve. That's to burn in everlasting fire in hell. But, praise God, He sent His only begotten Son. Begotten tells us, the English word to tells us, there is no other except that one. There is none before, there's none after. There's only one. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, it said, this is the intimate condescension of deity with mankind. God didn't come to be an enemy, but He came to be an ally with mankind. It's just like two parallel lines, you know. They never meet in that sense, you know. They go parallel, deity and man, but then at one point there was a bridge that joins them together. That bridge is Jesus Christ. He joins man with God. That's why we have hope, my friend. That's why I don't look so gloomy. Although, you know, Brother E needs to look serious, because you need to rejoice unless you have not had the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Then you ought to be sad. You ought to be sorrowful. But then that sorrow and sadness can change just in the split of a moment. Just believe and trust in Him. You know, the shepherds were shocked, you know. They look at that and all these things, and they were afraid. But the angel says no. And the angels tell them, you see, the angel came in verse 9 and said, glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said, behold, I bring you not sad story, but good tidings of great joy. Not simple joy, but great joy, which shall be to all people. You've been waiting for 650 years in Micah chapter 5 verse 2. Here it is. 650 over years. And here it is. This is the Son of God made flesh, incarnate, become the Son of Man. Not only is He the Son of Man, but He is also the Anointed, as the scripture puts forth. Because he is not only the prophet, he is not only the priest, but he is also the king. Prophet, priest, and king. Just like an old king by the name of Melchizedek, who has that same kind of connotation. Prophet, priest, and king. He's all three in one for the sake of men. The birth of the Savior was to save sinners. That was his birthright. You have a birthright? I don't know my birthright, really. But the birthright of Jesus Christ is to save sinners like us. And thank God, that's his birthright. Because if that's not the case, you and I, as Paul the Apostle said, we are doomed. No hope. But there's hope in Jesus Christ. Save sinners was his birthright. He was the anointed. Bring glory to God in the highest, on earth, and goodwill toward men. There's not always goodwill from man to God, but from God to man, there was always goodwill. Yeah? You cannot always live peaceably, you cannot always be at peace with men, but you try to live peaceably with all men. Although it's kind of difficult, but not impossible in Jesus Christ. So today we see what happened. The birthday of Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah. Secondly, to whom is this joy belongs to or sent to? It belongs to people like us. Shepherd. Simple people, not very intellectual, not the high society and this and that. Although it's open to all, but it was brought to people like shepherds. He says, go, tell to them. The people who was told were simple people. Yeah? Not the very, very smart people, very intellectual people. No. Came to not the elite, but to those that are very simple and vigilant. The Bible says these people are watching the sheep. Have you seen a shepherd sleep? Maybe he closed his eyes a little bit and snoozed off a little bit, but let me tell you, his ears work overtime. And he knows. You know, they are vigilant people. They watch. They watch. That's why if you are not watching, you will not catch anything. You need to watch. I do a lot of fishing when I was young. You know, and we take a sampan and we go out into the sea. And then all night long we let the line down and then we wait. And we can't sleep because we need to watch. If a big fish comes along the way and pull at the thing, if you are not watchful, you'll lose your fingers. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe all. You see? So you be careful. And of course you lose the fish too at the same time. But you have to watch. So when you feel the tug, you give it a hug. And then you start reeling in. Some of the fish are so big, you know, you feel like you hit a rock. But once you bring it up as more and more, and then you see what kind of fish you got, wow, satisfaction, you know. And of course, you know, what we usually do is that once we catch a fish, we go to the shore, and then we go to this one shop, you know, they have this zicha shop. You know what zicha shop? They sell ho fun and all that. And straight away, we give the fella the fish and say, hey, can you just put in and just have for us together and then we can makan. Well, the story is not for you to see how I spend my life as a child. But you know, you must be watchful. One time we didn't watch, and then we were sleeping. And you know what happened? We not only lost our fish, but a ship came by us. They never see us. Of course, so small, sampan, you know. It's really small. And the ship came by just a few feet away only. Zzz. And we woke up. Wow! Praise the Lord. It's all in the stars somehow or another. The ship didn't crash into us, but we survived. We need to be watchful like those people there. They are vigilant, and furthermore, if you look in verse 50, they are available. They are people that avail themselves. You see, God wants people who are available. You got to be in the position that, like Isaiah the prophet, he say, you know, when the command comes to Isaiah, Isaiah then say, "Oh Lord, wait for me. I have to go and take a bus and take MRT and then take this and that, and then I get to the place and then I will hear your voice." No, you be in the place where you can hear His voice. His still small voice. If you are in the world and you are, you know, the world has a lot of noise here, making money and shouting here and shouting there and all that, you won't hear God's voice. God doesn't shout. His still small voice needs quietness, silence. He needs you to be available, pay attention. The shepherd was paying attention. And they heard His voice. They were vigilant people. You know, my friend, it's not your talent that's going to make any difference. God looks for people which are available, not talented. Although if you got talent, that's good. But you know, all the talent that we have before or after we know the Lord came from Him. See, you become like the Sadducees and said, and the Pharisees, and they said to God, "I'm so intelligent. I know everything. I don't need any advice anymore. You know, I don't need any advice. I have arrived." Have you met any people like that? Many, right? I have all the answers. I know stupid, you know. That's where we are very stupid. As far as God is concerned, we need to listen. We need to humble ourselves. As I was saying earlier on, there was to the last session, you know, I heard a report, you know, a BBC report, and it says, people who make the best decisions are those that listen. Humble. Because they know they have not the answer, so they listen and they calculate, rationalize, and then they use their intuition, their gut feeling. Plus, if you are a Christian, then you got the Spirit of God, even better. You see, it's not how smart you are. Many times, people who are real smart, that's what they think. They make the wrong decision. You see? Shepherds are simple people. They just listen and they follow. They don't need to say, "Hey, we've been hearing this for 650 years, man. It's old. You think it's something wrong?" No. They listen. They watch. They avail themselves. Like Isaiah said. Isaiah didn't say, "I'm not here." You know? Or Moses. You know Moses? So wise. But when God called, he turned around and said, he pretend to look at his brother Aaron. God called you. Be like Isaiah. Here am I, Lord. I'm here in the position to hear your voice and follow your command. Send me. That's the kind of spirit, that's the kind of person that God comes to. When he was born there in Bethlehem, the house of bread. And so he speaks to them and tell them, they are people that have availed themselves and God can use them. So my friend, if today you think you're very smart, God can't use you. But if you think and know God is all and I'm nothing, you will hear his voice. And you will never regret it, my friend. Because that's the still, small, sweet voice of our Lord telling us what we need to do. And so the shepherd went and did what they were told. There are people who were told, and the people who have heard it, and the people that believe it. How wonderful. If we hear because we were told, and then we believe it, it's complete. That's the joy there. The joy belongs to people like that. If you are not listening, you don't have that kind of joy. If you are not doing, you don't have that kind of joy. But if you are listening and hearing and then doing it, that's where the joy is yours. So when you ask yourself this question, have you been listening? Have you been doing? Is that why you don't have the joy? Perhaps so, my friend. So let us listen. And the third and the last thing is the most wonderful thing is that these people who had the joy manifest the joy. That means they live that joy. The shepherd, look at what they did. They manifest that joy there in verse 20 of Gospel of Luke chapter 2. And the shepherds return after they heard, after they see, after they had all those things, they return glorifying and praising God for all the things that they have heard. They have seen as it was told unto them. That's the last part. See, that's the final touch. That's the icing upon the cake when you do it. You heard it, you know it, you receive it, you do it.